It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
A port of recall.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. This port security issue isn't going away anytime soon. The Bush administration says a panel will take a second hard look at the sale, which would give a Middle Eastern company control of operations at 6 major U.S. ports. In its first review, the panel said the deal poses no national security risks, but many in Congress are skeptical, and some lawmakers want Congress to have a say in the matter. Right now, it doesn't have one. President Bush heads to South Asia this week. First stop, India. The U.S. and India haven't been the best of pals, but the president sees an opportunity here, starting with investment in India's fast-growing nuclear energy industry. Jessica Smith reports.
U.S. trade with India is, by one estimate, a tenth of our trade with China. But U.S. firms dream of India's potential. It's not just GE and Westinghouse hoping to cash in on India's plans to quintuple its nuclear energy output. Ron Summers of the U.S.-India Business Council says defense firms like Boeing and Lockheed Martin could sell more military equipment to New Delhi if the two governments can reverse their historically rocky relationship.
This is much more than selling defense equipment. This is about a much larger relationship, which is going to change really the economic landscape of these two democracies for the long future.
Many other U.S. corporations hope a political deal will pave a wider road to India's markets. But first, President Bush and India's Prime Minister Manmohan Singh must convince skeptical politicians in both countries to sign off on it. In Washington, I'm Jessica Smith for Marketplace.
In China, let the Avon parties begin. After a 7-year ban, the Chinese government is once again allowing Avon's door-to-door sales model. Avon was forced off the streets in 1998, just as China's huge market started heating up. The decision also opens the door for other U.S. companies like Amway. Corporate America should start thinking about bird flu. That'll be the message at a summit today in Washington. Eric Kneeler has more.
Bird flu experts at today's summit say business leaders need to act now to be ready for a possible outbreak in the United States. James Bender, a public health specialist working on the flu issue, says companies must plan for continuity in the face of a possible pandemic and establish decision-making procedures ahead of time.
What are the core functions that a business has to carry on with, and how is it going to carry on those functions to ensure, that they meet the needs of their customers, but also survive?
Bender says companies need to be nimble in the face of a mass outbreak and discuss contingency plans with employees. Who's going to pay for all this? With limited federal dollars, probably the consumer. In Washington, I'm Eric Kneeler for Marketplace.
Some might call Graceland an amusement park already, but the guy who owns a controlling stake in it really wants to make it one. TV producer Robert Sillerman says he can double the number of visitors by adding more tourist attractions and a hotel. Sillerman produces the show American Idol, and Elvis certainly was one. A little spike in oil prices weighed on Wall Street Friday. The Dow closed down 7 points to 11,061. The Nasdaq gained 7 to wind up at 2,287. And the S&P 500 was up a point to 1,289. You're listening to Marketplace. The future of embryonic stem cell research could be on trial starting today in California. A lawsuit challenges a new state agency dedicated to the controversial field. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
California voters passed a proposition to spend $3 billion in state funds on stem cell research 2 years ago. But before a penny of the money can be spent, this lawsuit needs to be resolved. It's brought by an anti-tax group and the Life Legal Defense Foundation. Dana Welch is director of the Berkeley Center for Law, Business, and the Economy.
The challenge that was made is that the agency that California voters set up when they approved Prop 71 is not under the exclusive management and control of the state.
The suit calls this lack of oversight unconstitutional. The judge has set aside 9 days for the case, but it could go into appeals. Welch says there is a legal precedent in favor of the stem cell funding. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, honoring Black History Month, valuing diversity as an investment in business excellence. HR, leading people, leading organizations. SHRM.org. Market data and news brought to you by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. We've told you how low the national savings rate is. It's so low, it's a negative number. It's the lowest rate since the Great Depression. A growing number of states have decided to help people start putting money away. From the Marketplace Work and Family Desk, Hillary Wakay reports.
Single mom Jennifer Fitch went from living check to check to owning her own two-bedroom home in Jackson, Michigan.
We have a nice backyard. I was actually able to have a garden this spring and fall.
She didn't do it alone. Her income qualified her for a program in Michigan. If she saved $1,000, the federally and state-funded program matched her money 3-1. Her state program required the money be used for a down payment on a home. She started by saving just $20 a month. Some months were easier than others.
If I have to choose between putting gas in my car and putting $20 in my savings account, I have to choose the gas because that provides my transportation to work.
But the incentive of matching money and the required financial management courses kept her going. In class, she learned the difference between needs and wants. It took her 2 years to save $1,000.
Savings is really the foundation.
Eric Mushler is director of Michigan's Asset Building Policy Project.
First saving and then investing in your future, gaining ownership over things. And so saving is the first step.
And that's where these savings accounts and matching programs, known as individual development accounts, come in. They've been gaining support from both the right and left. The money must be used toward home ownership, education, or starting a business. IDA started slowly in the mid-1990s. Now some form of federally funded IDA program can be found in all 50 states. Karen Edwards works at Washington University's Center for Social Development, where the concept of IDAs originated. She says there's a national push for private accounts of all types, from 401ks to health savings accounts.
The problem is we just don't want poor and low-income folks to be left out of that equation.
Congress appropriated $125 million over 5 years to entice low-income families to save. But that's not much, given the demand. Waiting lists for IDA programs are common.
Until there's a much larger funding source and a bigger pot of money, and until more policymakers get on board with the idea, I think it may grow very slowly.
So advocates like Edwards are now pushing to make IDA-style accounts available across socioeconomic classes. They're now lobbying for savings accounts for every child in the country. Under a bill called the Aspire Act, now in Congress, the government would open an account for each child at birth with a lump sum. More money would go to low-income children. It has bipartisan support, but the estimated price tag is $40 billion over 10 years, a tough sell in a tight budget. I'm Hillary Wakay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
20 years ago, much of Latin America adopted...
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.